tried to expand. First day, you can spot them because they were like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? About halfway through the second day, you can see a little airspace between the floor and their feet because they have started to float. Because all of a sudden, they realize that they are among a group of really amazing people called writers.
Welcome to Literary Gumbo 2.0. This is the reboot of a video program I co-produced between 2010 and 2017. I'm your host, Lisa Engel, the right angle to help you write and sell your story. Each episode explores the world of writing, publishing, and book marketing. Sit back and enjoy.
I'm here today with Grace Rocco, the director of the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. Hi, Grace.
Hi, Lisa. Good to see you.
Hi. I first attended the Santa Barbara Writers Conference in 1993. Wow. I was living in San Luis Obispo because I went to Cal Poly. Yeah. And a couple of writers that I knew from up there who'd been to the conference a couple of times said that if you want to know anything about the inside scoop of the Santa Barbara writers community, you need to meet you. But I guess it was only your second or third year at the time.
Well, I guess my reputation went fast. I think it was due to maybe some notes left in restroom stalls that really got, if you want to know about writing, ask Grace Rocco. I don't know, maybe, I don't know how I got a reputation so quickly, but I did start at 1992, which would have been just a year before you, but now is 31 years ago. So it's been a long time. I was just a kid then, you were an infant.
Well, maybe, I don't know, I don't remember. Well, what brought you to the Santa Barbara Writers Conference for the first time?
Well, I wanted to go sooner and I tried to sign up, but the conference was full. And so this was a beautiful marketing ploy on the part of Mary Conrad, who was one of the founders of the conference, where every year the conference filled up. It did indeed fill up, but boy, if you didn't get your deposit in and get your space in January, chances are you weren't going to get into the conference. And I learned the hard way that that was the case. And so in 1992, I got my deposit in January, and I was in. So it felt really good. And I haven't not been in ever since. I've attended every conference that has existed, no matter who was running it, who was part of it. I was there since 1992.
Well, I remember growing up in Santa Barbara, I remember hearing radio ads for it in the early 70s. And, you know, I remember telling my dad, wow, Charles Schulz, I know who he is. I want to see him. But of course, I was only, I don't even think I was 8 years old by then.
Yeah.
And so, but I do remember hearing about it. It's got a very long, this is the 50th anniversary.
It is the 50th anniversary of the first conference that was held in 1973 in June, the third week of June at Kate School. And it was at Kate School for a couple of years. And then it moved to the Miramar. The question is, how many conferences have there been? And we have missed several years because of this thing or that thing. The first year that was missed was the year 2000 because the Miramar closed and we didn't have a new venue. And we also missed 2009 and 2010 because there was no owner of the conference right at that time. But we came back on board in 2011 and we've been at the Marmonte ever since then, although occasionally they call themselves the Hyatt, but it's always been the same hotel. And that has been a good venue for the conference. It keeps the conference a little bit smaller than when it was at Westmont and when it was at the Miramar, or at the Fess Parker Inn that is now the Hilton. But it's really been a good venue for us because it is intimate. It's a little bit interesting because it's an old building built in the late 20s, and it has a lot of the flavor still remaining of that era, while it has been nicely updated.
Well, the important thing is they still have a bar or two there.
Yes, now they have two bars, and everybody knows writers love to drink, I guess. I don't know. But there was one bar that was in the back, and then they decided to put the bar by the pool and close the bar in the back, and everybody got upset about that. And so they did another renovation, and they opened the bar in the back again. So now there's the back bar and there's the pool bar. And one of them is always open, but seldom are both of them open. So you can have a change of venue for your wine or cocktails, whatever you want. And both are nice. Both have ocean views.
And of course, there probably will also be plenty of coffee.
Coffee, coffee, coffee. The hotel makes, I don't know how they make so much coffee. It is, I just can't even imagine what they do to produce the kind of coffee quantities that are required when 200 plus people come into the hotel, all of whom require coffee. And they serve the coffee from fairly early in the morning. They stop at 11. So people, if they need a coffee in the middle of the day, they have to get their own coffee. But then if you go to the pirate workshops that start at 9:30, they serve coffee again until midnight. So if you need a lot of coffee, this is a great place to go to get free coffee. So I'm just putting it out to the world that you can get free coffee at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. If you want to learn about writing, you have to register, but just the coffee itself, you can access for free. So that's kind of a nice thing that happens at the conference.
Well, great. Yeah. And especially if you're going to be going to the pirates. And for anybody who don't know, what are pirates other than
pirates? Hey, maybe. Good question. And it's one of the frequently asked questions. What are pirates? Are there pirates at the pirates? And the answer is yes, there are pirates at the pirates. Some people bring their patches and their pirate swords and their pirate hats. I've seen a lot of regalia. There are usually pirate stickers on the badges of the folks who like to frequent the pirates. But simply put, the pirates are late night workshops. And they got the name of pirates because in the early days of the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, there was no late night workshops, but people wanted to keep workshopping their work into the wee hours of the morning. And so they started having pop-up workshops, and the conference decided, well, gosh, if people want to do this, we'll just get some good workshop leaders who like to stay up all night, and we'll have reading critique all night long. And sometimes those workshops do see the dawn. It is summer, so the dawn is early, but sometimes people really get going and they don't stop until the sun comes up. And then they take about an hour or two off and then go to a 9 o'clock workshop.
Well, so for people who don't stay up all night, what other kind of workshops are there?
Luckily, there are plenty to choose from. We have 11 workshops going on at any given time in the morning, and another 11 going on at any time in the afternoon. The one of those 11 is a seminar style workshop that covers publishing and marketing and a lot of excellent topics that people want to know, especially if their book is done or maybe even published. This is a way to learn how to get their author website polished up, how to do publicity, use social media, how to get an interview, how to have good interview skills. What kind of publishing should they choose? Should they go traditional route, or should they go with hybrid publishing? That's big now, a publisher that helps you out in a lot of areas, that, like a traditional publisher, but you contribute to the cost of the process. And then there, we'll talk about self-publishing, people doing publishing on Amazon, all the different, there's so many options now for publishing that it's hard to sort it out for people who are just going. And then if that's not enough, we will be talking about how to do audiobooks and also how to perform well on a podcast. And that is a skill all to its own, different than a lot of camera interview, different than a face-to-face at a coffee shop type interview. The podcast interview has its own. And Lois Phillips, who is an expert in podcast interviews, will be talking about how to do a great job on a podcast interview. That's just one of the 11 workshops that will be going on all day. We have workshops in fiction. We have workshops in nonfiction. We have workshops in all genres. So no matter what your writing is, you might need to work on structure. You might need to work on how to get your story generated, how to get beyond the block of not knowing exactly what to do. Then we have children's literature taught by Mary Fanny Hershey, who is a terrific teacher and also a terrific writer for children's literature. We have a humor workshop, which is a longtime legacy started by Ian Bernard at the Miramar in the very early days of the conference. And Ernie Witham is now teaching that. And he's a columnist, a humor columnist, and he really does a nice job teaching and helping people be funnier. We have the poetry. We're going to have about 6 poet laureates at the conference, either speaking or teaching in the two poetry workshops.
And you even have a couple of open mic poetry readings.
Yes, 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, from noon until 12:45. So if you're a poet, this is a great place to be. And those open mic readings are open to the public. You don't have to be registered for the conference to come.
And you get free coffee.
So it's all good. So anyway, it's a big conference with a lot going on. And I can't imagine anybody who could not find something that would be enriching to them. The problem is which to choose, how to choose among the options.
Well, what about the evening speakers? You've got some really good evening speakers lined up this year.
Evening speakers have always been a tradition at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference. In the ancient days of the conference, the choice often had to do with very famous people that Barnaby Conrad knew. And so we had some real headliners back in the day, just writers that you can't imagine how they got them to come to Santa Barbara. Well, they got them to come to Santa Barbara because of the connection. So the evening speaker concept has been a part of the conference from the beginning. And now we have to rely on asking people who are authors, who especially ones who have books out, if they would like to come and speak. And we always try to get speakers who are willing to talk about writing, about their writing process, so that it's instructive for the writers as well as an opportunity to meet a real live, famous, well-sold, bestseller type of author. We usually have one of the evening speakers who's more on the literary side, one who is more on the humorous or light side, and then some other types of writers in between. We always like to have a variety. We have a really good lineup. I'm looking forward. I read all the books and I think they're terrific.
But what about the in the afternoon, then between the workshops and there are breaks for lunches and stuff like that. And then you get the other workshops and seminars and then panels too.
Yeah. Yes. Every afternoon from Monday through Friday, we have a panel. And to this year, all of the panels happen to be author panels. One of the reasons for that is because there were so many authors associated with the conference who had books published during the pandemic, during the years when we did not meet. And so I wanted to get all of those authors in on panels to give them a chance that they might not have had if their book came out on the late 2020 or early 2021, that sort of thing. So we have, they're all new books, but they're, some of them came out during the pandemic, so they're not brand new books. We have a lot of people who've been published using alternative publishing methods, like hybrid publishing methods, who are doing really well. So we'll get to talk a lot about the different, how successful the authors are with the various kinds of publishing. And one of my favorite authors we're going to have on a panel on the murder mystery and thriller panel on Monday is Debbie Larkin, who is got her agent at the conference in 2019. She came to the conference as an aspiring writer, found an agent at the conference, at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, got her book published. It's really a good book. It's a true crime told from the point of view of a 10-year-old herself. When she was 10 years old, this murder happened in her hometown, and she tells the story from the point of view of a child. But it's really compelling, really well written, and it's doing really well. So that's a big success story of traditional publishing. So we'll have quite a range of authors. There are 5 panels, and there are 4 or 5 authors on each panel. So 20 plus authors, and agents, of course. We do also have an agent panel.
Yeah, there is, I mean, in the last, in our time, the last 30 years, publishing in general has really changed, and especially in the last 10 years. So, but you still have agents, and you still have people meeting with agents and connecting with agents.
Yes, we do. We devote a whole day to agents who are offering appointments, and we're almost sold out, by the way, of all the agent appointments, but they usually do sell out because a lot of people, there are two reasons people want to see an agent at a conference like this. One is they want to get over the nervousness of contacting an agent, being comfortable communicating with an agent. I'm not sure why there is such trepidation among writers. I think it's because work is so close to their heart and they feel that the agent might be judgmental, because if the agent isn't interested in their project, they might say, sorry, no, and that can be painful. So just getting used to that, the fact that you might have to talk to 50 agents, 100 agents before you find one that would want to represent your work, is something that all writers have to face. Some get lucky, but it usually takes a while to get the interest of just the right agent. And so they get over their trepidation by having an appointment. The other thing that happens is that they get a chance to think about their work in terms of selling their work, as opposed to writing their work or creating their work. And then finally, every year we have at least one person who does find an agent and connects, and it becomes a published book through the traditional publishing method. So all of those are reasons that people sign up for an agent. And it's really a lot of fun. And we have a resident psychologist to help people. I'm kidding about that a little bit, but we do help people get over their issues with talking to an agent, getting over the fear of talking to an agent, and feeling much more comfortable about that, which is a big issue.
Yeah, I know, and I've heard stories of people who have gone to the conference and you know, maybe they were in the wrong workshop and somebody happened to be very crass and their feelings got hurt and they just gave up. And I mean, so do you think, do people have to have a really thick skin in order to participate in reading critique and meeting with consultants and agents and everything?
You know, a thick skin does help if you're trying to put yourself out there. It really does help. But the Santa Barbara Writers Conference philosophy is that we're all there to help one another. We don't have any requirements for attending. For example, you don't have to send in a sample of your writing and qualify to attend the conference. There are conferences around the country that require a certain level of achievement before you can attend. But we like to have everybody come. And more than once, we've had a beginner who had really never written before, who came to the conference and then became a best-selling author. Example would be Fanny Flagg, who was a TV personality, and she decided she wanted to try writing. And so she came to the conference and she turned in a handwritten entry to a contest at the conference in 1980 something. And she got a first prize, and she turned that little vignette that she wrote at the conference into her first novel. And she's an author of about a dozen novels now, and she's a beloved author. She often comes back and speaks, and she lives here in town, so we often see her in the audience at the evening speakers at the conference. If she's not speaking, she still comes to say hi and enjoy at least one of the evenings.
That's, yeah, and it's always a pleasure to see her. What other authors came out of the conference?
Well, there's Christopher Moore, and he was in the Ian Bernard's humor workshop. I was there when he was an aspiring writer, and he wrote really funny. He was a novelist, but he had a really good sense of humor and irony and had interesting humorous characters for his novels. And he's been putting out a successful novel every year since then. I don't know how many there are. I've read a lot of them, and I really enjoy reading his work. And he's come back to speak several times, and I hope he will again. He lives in Hawaii now, and it's hard to match his book tours with the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, because if he's not on tour, he wants to be writing. But he's just a wonderful person, and he started at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference as a beginning writer. I think he was selling insurance, and he says he credits the Santa Barbara Writers Conference with getting him out of a life as an insurance salesman.
I love Christopher Moore. I've read several of his books. Well, what is your, since you've attended so many of the Santa Barbara Writers Conferences, what's your favorite part?
Ah, good question. I think always my favorite part is seeing what happens to the first timers. The first timers they don't know what to expect. They're trepidatious. They have a lot of questions. The first day you can spot them, because they are like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then about halfway through the second day, you can see a little airspace between the floor and their feet, because they have started to float, because all of a sudden they realize that they are among a group of really amazing people called writers that think like them, that are like them, that are, even though there might be the exception once in a while in a workshop where somebody says something that's not appropriate, for the most part, 99.9% of the people at the conference are supportive and want to see the success of everyone. And so they start being buoyed up by that. And they start getting excited about how it is possible that no matter where they are in their writing process, that they can keep working on it and getting better. And they get really excited, they get inspired, and they get into their work. And I love seeing that. It's it, and then they can't sleep. They're drinking all that coffee, and they by the end of the week, they're a physical wreck, but their creative juices are flowing, and they're really ready to go home and get busy with finishing whatever it is they're working on.
So for people who maybe they've been writing for a while, or maybe they're brand new and just have ideas, but for just in general, do you have any advice or tips for anybody who might be coming to this conference, whether it's one day or for the whole week? Say they're just coming for the first time. Do you have any advice for first timers?
I would say the best advice for a first timer is to just give things a try. Try something. If you like it, keep doing it. If you don't like it, try something else. There's so much to choose from that there's something for everyone. If people are having a challenge with knowing what to write or how to write or getting their story out, several of the workshops are designed very much around that. Marilee Zdenek is great at drawing out stories of discovering the story that you want to tell. Karen Ford also is very much interested in figuring out from a person's offering what they have written, narrowing that down to what it is that they really want to write, because there's always something in there. And once the person understands what it is that they really want to write, they tend to go faster because they understand what they're writing about. And it seems kind of a crazy thing that people wouldn't know what they want to write, but people do often get the urge to write before they know what it is they want to write. I'm that way. I can write fine, but I don't know what to write. I need to go to Marilee Zdenek's class and get that drawn out of me. So there's some good workshops that way. And then there's, on the other hand, if you have a lot of writing and you want to get feedback, there are a lot of the workshops that are read and critique. So you just have to ask around if you're new, which workshops fit where I am in my writing. And there's will be good advice. The volunteers with the info desk will give good advice about which workshop to try. So that's my advice. Try something, and if you don't like it, try something else.
But is there anything that maybe is a, make sure you don't miss this?
Well, that's like saying, which is your favorite child? Which is your favorite dog? Now, you may have one, but you better not say. I would say the thing that you shouldn't miss is attending. There's something there, no matter what you're doing, you will get something good out of it. So you need to just spin the wheel and pick something, that's fine. And if you want to get advice from a particular person, that person will probably have something that would be an answer to the question you just asked, is what is your favorite thing to go to? Which workshop is the best? I love some of the workshops that I've attended. And I honestly haven't attended all of the workshops that we have because they don't let me attend. I have to work during the conference. I don't get to see what everybody is doing, but I have a pretty good idea because I attended a lot of workshops in the past, and a lot of our workshop leaders are very experienced. They've been with the conference for a long time, and they really know the whole feeling of how the conference, what we want to impart to people who attend, and give them inspiration and support and help them on their journey.
Well, that's very inspiring. I mean, boy, I think I want to go.
Lisa, what is your favorite workshop? What workshop do you enjoy in the past?
Well, I've been to the humor workshop, even back when Ian Bernard was teaching it, and Ernie, of course, he's hilarious. He's done Chicken Soup for the Soul. Probably thousands of entries in Chicken Soup for the Soul by now. And the panels are great because you've got more than one perspective on on the panel. So you get so much advice from so many different people. And like you said, I mean, I actually am, my one claim to fame is a quote that I gave, I told Barnaby Conrad after the first time I attended the conference that at the end, a lady I'd met there, a friend I'd met there, she said, "Boy, you know what? Now I feel like a real writer." And that's how people feel after they have attended this conference.
That's a beautiful quote. I love that. And you, so you heard somebody say this and then you snapped it up and made it your own. I love it.
Yes, I did. I'm also very famous for stealing ideas. So
well, we all do it. We all do it. You hear a good idea, why let it lie there? Take it to the world. I really appreciate that. I feel like a real writer. Now I feel like a real writer. I think that's something that is a real factor in attending the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, is that it creates an atmosphere where people who don't know what they're doing have a sense of becoming real. They know what they're doing. They know that they are a writer. They're not afraid to say that they're writing. A lot of times people don't like to tell anyone that they're writing, but they do write, and they appreciate the fact that they can say that in public. They come out as a writer, so I think it's good.
Well, for anybody who wants to attend this year, what are the dates and how can they find out more information?
The website is www.sbwriters.com. And if you leave off the www, it still works. I love that. So that SB is in Santa Barbara, sbwriters.com. The registration is online and it's really easy to do. You just go to the register page and you can have any choice of 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 day. You can't go 7 days because there are only 6 days of the conference, but they're priced accordingly so that you get a price break as you go up the chain. The one thing I would want to caution people is if they are interested in attending, they should register soon, because for the first time in a number of years, we are getting close to running out of spaces. And that's exciting to know, because when we decided to hold the conference again, we didn't know if anybody would even come. And people started coming, and as soon as we opened registration, we had someone signing up, a brand new person. How they even knew we were open for registration, I don't know, but they signed up within about an hour of us opening the portal for registration in January. And the registrations have been steady and good ever since, and we're ahead, way ahead of where we were in 2019. So there's a good chance that we will run out of space. So I advise people to sign up early. And if they can only come for 2 or 3 days, that's fine. We will love to have them for that amount of time, and they'll still get a good value.
And, or even the afternoon panels and evening speakers, those are open to the public for a charge.
Yeah, that's right. $15 for the ticket. And I think it's well worth the price, because you really get a good value and you can hang out in the commons room before and after and talk to writers, so you get a little bit different feel than if you're going to an event where it isn't full of all just writers.
Well, thank you very much, Grace. It was nice speaking to you again, and I look forward to seeing you again in person at June 18th through the 23rd.
Yeah, well, I look forward to seeing you there as well. And thank you for the chance to do this. This has been fun.